Here, start here, the two dots, the bottom of Kufla Metenu Bet. The Mishnah says, Uf Tamei Patur Mila Shaleach. Not included in this requirement of sending away the aim. Well, it's no Menahani Mila. How do you know that's true? Some Rabbi Yitzchok Tamar Kroo, the Pasuk says, Ki Yikarei Kan Sipor Lefanecha. When it comes to the Pasuk, it says, Ki Yikarei Kan Sipor, uses the term Sipor. Oaf, had it used the term Oaf, Mashmalan Bentahor Bentamei. Oaf is used interchangeably, whether it's talking about kosher birds or non-kosher birds. Sipor, the word sipor is only used tohor ashkechan deikret sipor. Only kosher birds do we find that the Torah uses the term sipor. Tamei, lo ashkechan deikret sipor. Comes to non-kosher birds, the word sipor is not used by that. Tashma, the Gemara is now going to go through some examples and try to dispel us of this thought that sipor is only used by kosher birds. The first one is from Devarim. It says, Tavnit kol sipor kanaf. The restriction against making images that are for Avodah Zarah. So there it says, Tavnit kol sipor kanaf. My love, sipor, what does it mean the word sipor there? Ben tohor ben tamei. Which would be logical. I mean, why is there any distinction between kosher and non-kosher birds when it comes to making images? Then what's the extra kanach coming to teach us? Chagavim. And it can teach us also insects, grasshoppers, anything in the locust family. Why is it low? Don't read it that way. Read Tzipor Tahor. Tzipor is telling us about kosher birds. And kanach is telling us about the tamei v'chagavim. They're just splitting between which term incorporates what. So Gemara's Habamina was that Sipor would incorporate both Tahor and Tamei. Gemara's conclusion is that the word Kanaf covers the birds that are Tamei, but Sipor would only refer to a kosher bird. Right, Teshma. Achaya, v'chol beima, remes v'tzipor, Kanaf. So as we say, from the Tehillim that we say in the mornings, might be familiar. But again, here it sounds like v'tzipor. My love, we're talking about here animals that sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why should there be, again, a difference between Ben Tahor and Ben Tamei? It should be the same thing in terms of Tzipor. And Kanaf, again, will be Chagavim. Versus Lo, gives the same answer, Tzipor, Tahor, and then Kanaf, Unku, Tamei, V'Chagavim. Tashma, the Gemara will do this now for a third time. In Breshit, Kol Tzipor, Kol Kanaf. So they're talking about all birds and any winged animal. So my love, Kidimakshina. This is an interesting way that we're dealing with it. Just like we asked the question before, we're going to ask it the same way. Lo, kidim shaninon. And we'll answer it the same way we answered before.
That's why the Gemara didn't do that.
It's like a more summary version. On the third time, they said, it's okay, enough. I mean, we're answering the same thing each time, so you can figure it out. That again, we're asking tzipor should include everything, and then we'll say, no, knaf is the inclusive word that takes care of the tziporim tmeim. Tashma. Vata ben adam emor le tzipor kol knaf. My love, kidakshinon. And the answer again, lo kiddush and nina. And again, you have the term tzipor and kanaf that are juxtaposed. So we would thought tzipor includes all birds and kanaf is for the insects or the locust. Gemara says no, that kanaf can include the tamei birds and tahor. Again, will just be that tzipor will only include those birds that are tahor. Tashma. And we're moving on to Daniel. Juan pohi yiduran tziporei shmaya. On its branches there, Daniel is describing this dream tree of sorts. And then its branches, Yiduran Tzipor Shmaya, the birds of the heavens will rest upon the branches of this tree. There it's clear again that Tziporim, there should be no distinction between kosher birds and non-kosher birds. It just says the birds of the sky of the heaven will rest upon these branches. It doesn't distinguish between kosher and non-kosher birds. Here you have a problem, which is you don't have the word kanaf anymore. So then the Pashup Shat of Tzipor here should be all Tziporim, including Tohor and Tamei. So Gemara says, Tzipor Shmaya Yikrei, Tzipore stama lo ikru. In that here the term is tzipore shmaya. Tzipore shmaya is a modified word of tzipor that could include non-kosher birds, but tzipor as a standalone term will not include non-kosher birds. Tashma. So now we have verim kol tzipor tehora. So here we're talking about the kosher animals in the Parshat Re'eh. There it says kol tzipor tehora. Michlal. What can you infer from that? The ika tmeya. If the Torah has to say kol tzipor tehora, then you could have just said kol tzipor. The fact that it modifies it by tehora implies that there's another way to modify the word, which is tmeya. So lo, mechlal de ika asura. Tzipor tehora just means that it's ready and available for you to eat. It's edible. So as the opposite of that, it doesn't have to be tmeya. It could be asura, that it's restricted. Mahi. What would be the opposite that would be restricted? So itreifa, if you want to suggest a treifa, behejaktiv. That we already have an explicit pasuk in Parshat Emor. In Parshat Emor it says, Nevela b'treifa lo yuchal letama ba. And there the Gemara establishes that it's talking about an oaf tahor. So we already know about the din of a treifa. So that cannot be what it's come to suggest here. Ve'i b'shchuta de mitzora. So now you want to suggest that it's coming to tell you that the mitzorah, when he is mitahir himself, he needs two birds to be mitahir himself. One that is set free, one is that shechted. The one that is nishchat, that you can't eat. So you would think that is misefer de kronafka. We already know that from the latter half of the pasuk there in Rei. It says, ve'asher asher lo tochlu mehem. These you may not eat. What's that come to include? The rabot shchutat mitzorah. So that I already know from the latter half of the pasuk. So I need something for the first half of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, the olam shchuta di mitzorah. It's also talking about shchuta mitzorah in the resha. Ulavor alav be'asei velotasei. It's to have both the positive and the negative statement of the Torah, because when you infer from a positive statement a negative statement, it's still classified as a positive statement. So over here, when you say, kol tzipor tehora, even though you infer from that, that would exclude the shchuta of a mitzorah, which is coming to you, don't eat it. But even though it's a don't, which is a negative command, since it derives from kol tzipor tehora, from a positive statement, as a din v'naseh. So therefore, you'll have two restrictions. You have an aseh and a lotaseh that reference the eating of the tzipor tehora. So the Gemara says, v'lukma b'treifa. If that's the case, let's go back to treifa. By treifa, we only had the pasuk, v'nevela treifa lo yuchal. That's only a negative commandment. So why don't we say that it comes, the kol tzipor tehora, comes to create an aseh for the eating of a treifa. Why don't you take that up? So the Gemara says, "Davar alamed mi no no." Say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning. The context will dictate. Ubinyana deshchuta aktiv. Parsha that we're talking about are animals that are going to be nishkatim. Deshchuta. That's the context of this parsha. Since that's the context of the parsha, we're going to put the asay and lotasay that's relevant to that context, and that would be a bird that is shchuta, which is the mitzorah. Treifa is not necessarily the topic of the context in which this is found, these psukim are found, and therefore we're not going to use it for an aseh of treifa, we'd rather use it for an aseh lotaseh of a mitzorah shchuta. So now the Gemara says, okay, what about by mitzorah itself? By mitzorah itself, it says, shtei tziporim chayot tehorot. So the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean, chayot? Lav shechayot beficha. So the first attempt of the Gemara is to suggest chayot means something that is edible, something that you're allowed to eat. Michlal. The implications of it are the ikud alav shechayot beficha. There are some that you may not eat. Again, here the term is tziporim, and the suggestion that chayot comes to modify and tell you things certain the tziporim that you're allowed to eat implies that there are tziporim that you are not allowed to eat. And again, the word tzipor here then would refer to both tehorim and tmeim. For lo, my chayot shechayan roshei evarin shelahem. That their heads of their limbs are still intact, meaning it's not a mechusareiver. It's not a mechusareiver. Remember, by birds, mum is not posel. What is posel by birds is a mechusareiver. So even though this is not a korban, this is not something that's put on his back, nevertheless, it has the same requirements of a korban that it may not have, mechusareiver. And that's what it means, chayot. Chayot is chayot, roshei evarim shelahen. Tashma, seifa. What about the latter half of the pasuk, which is, shtei tziporim chayot tehorot, michlal, deika, tmeyot. Again, you can infer, if the Torah has to modify tzipor by tehorot, the implications are that there must be something else that could have been, and that would have been tmeyot. No. Lo, mechval deika trefot. Doesn't have to be tehorot versus tmeyot, it could be tehorot versus trefot. So Gemara says, trefot mechayot nafka. We know that trefot are excluded because it says chayot, that live. And we know that trefot don't live. Gemara says, hanicha leman damar trefa chayo. This will work well according to one who says that a treifa can live. That it's not automatic that a treifa will die. And therefore you need two miutin. I need a miut of chayot, and then a miut of treifa, independent of each other. Alamandamar treifa in a chayot. According to one who says treifa in a chayot, then the word chayot, the pashupshar of the word chayot, means that they have to be able to live. And a treifa is unable to live. So ma'ika the meimar. Then what are you going to do with this extra word torot? Ve'od. Ben the mandamar treifa chayot, ben the mandamar in a chayot. Miditana de Beim Reishmol Nafka. Hey, forget about this whole thing. We don't even need this limud at all because we have the Tana de Beim Reishmol, the Tana de Beim Reishmol, Nemar Machshir Mechaper Bifnim. Benemar Machshir Bifnim Mechaper Bechutz. We have a Machshir in the Mikdash and we have Mechaprim in the Mikdash. Machshir in the Mikdash are people who bring Korbanot in order to be Matir themselves. So we've had that by, for instance, a Yoledet, by a Zavah. They bring a Korban, Chatat, to allow them to re-enter the Mikdash, to eat Kodesh. So their karbanot are machshirim. They're not michaprim. They're not coming to be michaper. Rather, they're coming to allow them access to the mikdash again. So those machshirim, or you have asher mitzora as well. All of these are machshirim, karbanot of machshir. Then we have michaprim, which is any other regular chatat v'asham. Is a chatat and asham are coming because they're coming to be michaper on something that went wrong. So I have a machshir and a mechaper bifnim. Outside the mikdash, I also have a machshir and a mechaper. The mechaper is the sa'ir lazazel. That's a mechaper that happens outside the mikdash. Machshir outside the mikdash is the tziporim of the mitzorah, the birds of the mitzorah. So now we draw this parallel. What does that mean? Ma machshir mechaper amur bifnim, ase bo machshir kim mechaper. Just like in the mikdash, there's no distinction between the machshir and the mechaper, meaning that any requirement that you have for a mechaper on the mizbeach, you also have for the machshir. There's no distinction between them. Af machshir mechaper amur b'chut, so too the machshir and the mechaper b'chut, ase bo machshir kim mechaper. Machshir should have the same din as the mechaper. Now when it comes to the mechaper b'chut, that's the seir l'mishteleach, how do I know that there is no such thing as a mum in it, or it has to have all the requirements of the korban? Because how do you choose the seir l'mishteleach? You choose it through a goral between seir l'Hashem and seir l'mishteleach. So that means that both of them have to be good enough to be the seir l'Hashem. One of them will be chosen to be the seir l'mishteleach. And when they're picked, and when they're brought, they both will be roi seir l'Hashem. Because it could be either one of them is chosen. So therefore, we know that the seir l'mishteleach has a din of Ra'ui le-Karban, all the requirements that are by Korban. So I'm going to apply that to the Makshir, Makshir being the Tziporim of the Mitzorah, that they have to have all the dinim that would make them kosher to end up on the Mizbeach inside. Well, if that's the case, it can't be a Trefa, it can't be Mechusar Eiver. All these limudim that we have, we don't need. Tanya de Beishmael covers all of that. So what are we going to do with these extra words now? These words of Chayot, what are we going to do with this word of Torot? Now with these words that we don't need. And if you don't imply from them that the word Sipor is being modified by them to tell us these and not something that is Tameh, then what do I need these extra words for? So the answer is, we have a number of Amoraim suggest answers here. Elo, Amarob, Nachma, Yitzhak, Lemeute, Sipore, Irani Dachat. Comes to exclude the Tziporim of Irani Dachat, Lamai. Now, what do you need to exclude the Tziporim of Irani Dachat? Ili Shiluach. If you're going to use it, there are two birds that you have by the Mitzorah. One is sent away, set free. The other one is shechted. So the one, if you set free, of course that you can't use a tzipor v'nir dachad. Why not? What's supposed to happen with the tzipor v'nir dachad? You're supposed to burn it. It's asur ba'na. You send it out. Lo amra Torah shaleach l'takala. The Torah doesn't say, send out a bird so someone else is going to have a problem with it. You send it out and someone else captures it. They're now using yisurei ana. So that clearly can't be what the Torah is demanding of us. We saw on Friday's daf, 2 daf ago in Kuf Lamed Chet, that Tosafot quotes Rashi, that we don't have it, Rashi in Aktav Yad, that suggests that this is the reason why Kodashim, you don't need to do Shliach HaKein, is because of this reason. Lo amra Torah shaleach l'takala. The Tosus rejects it over there and says we don't need it because the pasuk of the pasuk, we can learn it out. But it's interesting, Rashi took this from Irani Dachad and he applied it to Kodoshim. Elo al shkita. Come to teach us that the bird that you shecht can't be from Irani Dachad. Why? The din of the bird that you shecht is you can't eat it. It's asur b'ano as well. So what you'll do is you'll shecht the bird to be Meteor the Mitzorah and then you'll burn it afterwards like you have to do to the shlal of the Irani Dachad. You can accomplish both. You do the shkita for the Mitzorah and afterwards you'll burn it like you do with the rest of the stuff in the Irani Dachad and it'll be fine. So this part comes to tell you, no, that does not work. That they have to be Torot or Chayot, that they have to have the ability to live and fly away afterwards and be Tahor, that you don't have over here because they're required to be burnt up, and so it excludes the bird of Irani Dachat to be used for the Tziporim of the Mitzorah. Mitzvah Lavlei, no? So therefore he just does the Shechita, there's no Hanah, that's it. All he does is Shechita and then he burns it. Nothing that you need from this bird. You're not doing anything, you're not going to eat this bird, you're not going to do anything with the bird besides Shechita. So Rav Amar, comes to exclude a case where you're going to bring another one in and use it for two mitzorayim. Lamai. Okay, what's the problem here? You can reuse the one that you shechted. That's clearly not the case because you have to send it away. And you can't send away a dead bird. You want to use the word that you sent away again twice. So what you're going to do is you'll bring in two birds, you'll shecht one of them, and the one the shaleach, you'll bring in a pair again, and you'll shecht the second one for the second mitzorah, and then you'll set the bird free. Because in the end, you're setting it free. It'll just qualify for two mitzorayim. So the Torah comes to teach you that doesn't work. The Chayot Torah comes to say that each one must be sent away by itself. Each one has to be the one that is set free. Tosfot says, and I have the same feeling here, I don't know how the Gemara gets that out of the word chayot or tohorot, that it has to be that you send it away each time and you can't reuse the bird. It's not clear from the pasuk. He also says, the rabbi of Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak lo pligi adodi. Solve this problem. He says, they don't argue. Utrei miute, chadamar, chadamar. That they come along, that they have these multiple miutim. We have the words chayot and tohorot, and they're not mutually exclusive. And therefore, Rabbo over here will subscribe to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's understanding as well, and his fits better with the idea of Tehorot that then does that of Rabbo. But just we have two miutim, and therefore we exclude two different items from these words. Alright, so now, Rav Pop Amar, Litziporim, Shechlifan, Be'avodah Zarah. Talking about birds that were exchanged for monies of Avodah Zarah. As Tosfot points out, that it's not birds of Avodah Zarah themselves, because that's Pshita de Asurim, because you can't use those for Chapara. But we're talking about birds that were purchased with money of Avodah Zarah. He's trying to get rid of his money that he had from Avodah Zarah, so he goes and buys these birds. Dechtev, because it says, Vaita cherem kamohu. Ko shata me'aya hemenu kamohu. Anything that you buy with it, or that you create from it, has the same din as it. So that means that anything that is a derivative of Avodah Zarah will have the din of Avodah Zarah. The din of Zarah is that you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it, you have to destroy it. So the Mai, again, what would you suppose you could use these birds for? Eli Shiluach. Then if you say that, Lo Matarah Shaleach L'Takala. Again, the same problem that we had before. Here it's an Isra Noah. You set it free. Someone's going to end up with a bird of Avodah Zarah. That you don't want to do. So Elo L'Shchita. The same thing we did by the Yerni Dachat, which is we shecht the bird of Avodah Zarah. And by shechting the bird of a Zarah afterwards, you'll do whatever you have to do to Avodah Zarah, which is get rid of it. You'll burn it. You'll destroy it. But you've done the Shchita that will qualify for the Mitzorah. That's the Havamina. The Pasuk comes to teach you, don't use a bird of an Avodah Zarah, an exchange of an Avodah Zarah, for the Shkita of the birds of Mitzorah. Yeah, but here you will accomplish Cherem. You're just on the way there, you kill it. There's no better Cherem than that, killing the bird. It's in the process. Okay, Mitzvah Lav Le'anot Nito. And therefore, you shecht the bird, you're destroying the bird, you're on the process of getting rid of it, so you're not doing something that's making it more alive or keeping it around, you're destroying it. Alright, Ravina Amar, Achumai Skinim, Be'of Sharagat Nefesh. Talk about a bird, a killer bird. Echidami, idigamar dino, if it already had the psak din and it was going to be put to death, bark tolohu. It's going to be put to death by Beit Din. There's nothing to talk about. This is your case of Shorani Skal. Over here, there's no question that Beit Din's going to put it to death. It's not available for the Mitzvah. You're not going to get your hands on it. And it's in the same category as the Shorani Skal. Ella, Kodim Gemar Dina. Talking about before the Gemar Dina, before the Psak. Lamai, Ilish Luah. If you want to say you should be able to send it away as one of the birds of the Mitzvah, by the two of the Beit Dina, you're under an obligation to bring it to Beit Din. To accomplish, we saw this on Friday's daf as well, the requirement that you bring anything, whatever bird it is, to Beit Din, because anything that's a Russia, anything that's evil, we need to rid ourselves of the Rishayim, then you are under requirement to bring that to Beit Din to take care of that. Ela l'shkita. Again, we use it for this bird, the first shkita, because just like over here, it has to be killed. So you take care of that. You're doing the viatara mikirbecha. You're shechting it. It won't be around anymore. So either way, you've accomplished. You need your mitzvah for the mitzvah. You need to take care of the mitzvah. And on the other hand, you also have to get rid of the biartara mikirbecha. So you get killed two birds with one stone.
One thing is the biartara mikirbecha may
take away the ability to be shaleach. It's not a bird that has a din of shlicha in it. So even if you did it b'di'evet, it wouldn't work.
Okay, but there's
the barkatala who is... Well, either you could say k'tute mechta shira, it doesn't exist. As if it's not there. You could have said that by the Avodah Zarah. I don't know why the Gemara didn't say that either. If it is a Bar Ketala, and the requirement is to leave it with Beit Din to be killed, or Viata Rabbi Kabecha means bring it to Beit Din, no longer is a bird that qualifies to be sent. Even if you send it, it's not called a bird that is sent. Because that option's been taken away from the bird. It has to be a bird that you have the option to send in order to qualify in sending that bird. When that option is removed from you, it's not a bird that qualifies to be sent. I think that's the way you have to read it. It's Mufka from the Parsha of Shiloh. So now we add in our Mishnah that if it's a non-kosher bird that is hovering or is really incubating these kosher eggs, then they're not requiring. We have the opposite is true as well, which is that if you have an of tahor that is incubating non-kosher eggs, that's also not required to do shalech tishalech. I understand that being on Sipor Veleka. Because we said just before, why is a Ofta May excluded? Because you need Sipor. So even when it's sitting on kosher eggs, it still doesn't qualify to be called a Sipor, because a Sipor only means a Tahor. So now, if you have a kosher bird that's incubating non-kosher eggs, hatziporhu, then we do have the, we fulfill the requirement of being a tzipor. So why can't we force you to do shalech to shalech? The purpose of doing, sending away the mother, is that you may take the eggs, or take the chicks over here. So if it's a tikach lach v'lo l'klavecha, that means you have to eat them. You have to be able to eat them, edible. We're not asking you to take these in order to feed them to you, or if they're treifot, if they're non-kosher, you can't do anything with them. So that can't be the outcome of sending away the mother. So achanami, over here too, it'll be tikach lach v'lo l'klavecha, v'echi itmar de Rav Kana. Now we're saying, just like Rav Kana has said somewhere else, where did he make that statement? And he did it on this. Itmar de Rav Kana, aha, detanyo, im treifach hayav b'shiluach. If a treifa is chayav b'shiluach, efrochim treifot patur mishiluach. If a treifa, you would have to send away. But when it comes to efrochim, if they're treifot, then you don't have to send them away. Why is there a difference? Manan emile, amar Rav Kana. This is where the statement of Rav Kana comes up. Amar kra, tikach lach, v'lo l'kavecha. That you would take the eggs or the efrochim, the chicks, for yourself. If they are treifot, they're not going to be for you. They're going to be for your dogs, and that'll be excluded. So even though if the mother is a treifa, you still have to send her away. But if the chicks or the eggs are treifot, there you do not have to send it away because they don't qualify under this term of tikach lach v'lo l'klavecha. My ass is v'lo akish em treifa l'efrochim. Why don't we make a hekesh? Just like efrochim that are treifot do not require shaleach tishalach, so say the same thing by the mother. So my efrochim treifot patur mili shiluach af em treifa nami patur mili shaleach. Why don't we draw that parallel between them? When it says, imkein et zippor limute of tamei lomali, then why do I need the Torah to tell me tzipor? Could have used the term oaf, and I already would have known that an oaf tamei is precluded, because obviously efrochim tmeim and beitzim tmeim don't qualify because of the limud of Rav Kahana, which is lach v'lo l'klavecha. So if that's already true, and I am makish that to the mother bird, then I don't need the word tzipor to tell me tahor and not tamei. I already have a limud that would have excluded it. Because of that, we're going to say that the fact that the Torah went ahead and told us that an oaf tamei is not qualified, that shows you that we don't have that hekesh. That hekesh doesn't exist. V'atanya. Don't we have a bright day? Mefruchim treifa chayav b'shiluach. If the chicks are treifot, then you do have to do shiluach. So Rabbi Yochi Kamar, this is how you reread the Braita. Efroach shi'iman treifa chayav b'shiluach. You're missing a word in the Braita, which is the word iman. So that the chicks, whose mother is a treifa, is chayav b'shiluach, and that would accord with what we've done till now, which says that the treifa is only a tour, the gabe, the efrochim, and the beitzim, not the gabe, the mother. So Bari Rav Hoshia, Hoshid yadol lekan, he sticks his hand into the nest, v'shachat mi'ut simanim, and then he shecks of the chicks. He shecks the mi'ut of the siman. Mao, what's the din? Mi'am rinan kevin de'ilu shavik luhu metarfe. So since if he just leaves them at this point and does nothing more, they will be treifot. Benin lach v'lo l'klavecha. Since you have this din of Rav Kahana that you need lach v'lo l'klavecha, they will not qualify, and therefore you won't have to do shalach tishalach. Or dilma, came into Biadol Ligmar Shkita, since you could finish up the Shkita, if you send away the mother now and finish up the Shkita, these chicks will be edible, they will be ro'ui for you. So Tikach Lach, Lach, Karinim Bay, then it's called Tikach Lach, V'chayav B'Shiluach, and therefore you have to accomplish the Shiluach of the mother, Teiku. The Gemara leaves that as a Teiku. Bay Ravi Yirmiyam, Matlit Mahu Shetachotz. If you have some cloth, some cover over the Beitzim, over the eggs, or over the chicks, and the mother is nesting or incubating above that cloth, what's the din? Do we need it that the mother is rovetzet ala efrochim ala beitzim, literally, that she's on top of them? Or is it enough that she's above them, not that she has to physically be touching them? Nafayim ma'ushi achotsu. Wings, what is it that will, that consider separation? Obviously, we're not talking about the wings of the mother or their chicks, because they're a part of them. That wouldn't matter. What we're talking about here are loose feathers. There's a layer of feathers that sits between the mother and the chicks or the eggs. What's the din? Beitzim muzarot. If you have eggs that will never produce a live offspring, what's the din? Are they mafsik? If you have these eggs that will not give offspring above other eggs, or you have them above the chicks, and the mother's sitting on these beitzim muzarot, is that a hefsik between the mother and the chicks or the birds, and it's not classified to be, or qualified to be, ruvetzet? Mau. So now Rashi reads the next thing as the imtim salomar. Imtim salomar, that the beitzim muzarot are a hefsik, then shnei sidrei beitzim zu agabzu.
You have two layers of eggs. You have a nest that has a lower layer of eggs and then an upper layer of eggs, all that are good eggs that could produce live offspring. Mao, what's the din there? Is the din there when she sits or incubates the top eggs that the lower eggs are not considered to be rovetzet, and therefore you could take them without sending them away, or are they all considered to be one unit? What happens, zachar, agabi bitzim, the male is incubating them, v'nei keva agabi zachar, and the female is sitting on top of the male bird, mahu. What's the din? Teiku. All of these cases are teiku. Implied from the Gemara, and we'll see it in a second, is that a zachar is not required to be sent away in these cases. If the zachar is doing the incubating, then there is no din. It's a shalech to shalech ha'aim, which is only the mother bird, only the female bird is required to be sent away. It does not apply to male birds. Rabbi Zera, yona al beitzei tasil. If you have a dove that's on top of the eggs of a tasil, and the tasil is a bird that's probably within the species of the yona, but not a yona. It's similar, very similar to the yona mahu, or the other way around. Tasil al beitzei yona mahu. Samarabai, Tashma from our Mishnah. Ofta me rovetzel beitzei oftahor. If you have a non-kosher bird on top of a kosher bird's eggs or chicks, beitahor, or the other way around, you have a kosher bird rovetzel beitzei oftame that on top of eggs or chicks of a non-kosher bird, patur mishiluach. Ha, what you can apply for that is, tahor beitahor chayav. If it was a kosher bird incubating other kosher bird's eggs, then chayav, you would be chayav. That would be the implications of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, dumma bekoret. Maybe we're talking about the next statement in the Mishnah, which is the Koreh. Maybe the exclusionary case is the partridge. Koreh in the Mishnah we saw was a machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer with regards to the Koreh Zachar. That's the male partridge. But when it comes to the Koreh Nekeva, even the Chachamim agree over there, since its normal way is to nest on other birds' eggs, incubate other birds' eggs, therefore, she would be qualified to be the aim of these eggs, and you would have to send her away. So that might be the case that the Mishnah is excluding and saying Tahor al Tahor is referring to this Koreh, not to all kosher birds, but just to the unique bird, this Koreh. So then we don't have a diuk out of our Mishnah.
Koreh is kosher?
So we thought that the implication of our mission was that any kosher bird sits on any other kosher bird's eggs, and that'll be qualified for shaleach to shaleach. You would have to do shaleach kakein. So the Gemara comes along and says, why do you have to say that? It may be that the implications of our mission are that this one unique bird, you have that requirement, because this bird does this. This is its normal way to incubate other birds' eggs. And therefore, there you're required. But in a case of a yonah and a tasil, there may be not. Maybe we have no implications from our Mishnah, because that's not their normal derech. They don't usually incubate other birds' eggs, and therefore they would not be qualified. So now, Koreh Zachar, talking about this male partridge. Rabbi Elazar, Mechayev, Chomim, Putrim. I'm Rabbi O, my time with Rabbi Elazar. What's Rabbi Elazar's reasoning? We know, and he agrees to the Chachamim, that when it comes to male birds, there's no din of Shaleach to Shalach. There is no din of Shaleach HaKein when it comes to male birds. So how come over here he has an exception to the rule? So Achia Degira Degira. He has a, well, I guess quasi gezeira shava here. Tivoch, it's written in Yirmiyahu, Kored Dagar Velo Yalad, that he's talking about, he gathers or summons or broods over other chicks, Lo Yalad, that it did not give birth to. Uchtivata Menishayahu, it says, Ubak'a Vidagra Bitsila, that it goes ahead and it's talking about the tree, that it's Baka, it makes its nest, Vidagra Bitsila, and it hangs out in its shade. That the bird broods, summons, or gathers its chicks under the shade of the tree. So you see here, in one case it uses the term dagar, the male form, and then you see in Yishayahu it uses the female form, which is dagra. So both cases they're talking about birds, these birds, that take other birds' eggs, that they incubate other birds' eggs. One case it calls it by the male, one the female. So what do you see? That there is some sort of equivalence drawn between the male, over here we'll call it the partridge, the koreh, and the female koreh, because they both incubate other birds' eggs, and the term dagar is used by both of them. So since the term dagar is used by both of them, it implies that the male partridge has a different din than any other male, because it is equated to the female partridge, because they both do this degira, dagar, dagar, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar believes that even the male partridge has a din of shaleach to shaleach. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, machloket bekoreh zachar. That's only true by koreh zachar, but bekoreh nekeva, dibre kol chayav. Even the chachamim agree by nekeva bekoreh, if it's incubating others' eggs, that you are chayav. Pshita. Why do you have to tell us that? The Mishnah says koreh zachar, it's not. The Mishnah says the machloket is about a koreh zachar, not about a female. So madu temer rabbanan afilu koreh nekeva patre. Out of that, the rabbanan, even by a female koreh, would say that you are patur. Vagdatani zachar, so why they write zachar? Udiacha kochod the Rabbi Lezer. To teach you that Rabbi Lezer says, even by the male one, he says that it's chayav. Kamash malan, that's not the case. Chamim agree by the female that you are chayav. So this again, that what I said before, which is this machloket only revolves around the korei zachar. But you're talking about regular male birds, everybody agrees that you patur. Pshito. Again, it's simple from the Mishnah, korei zachar. It doesn't say all male birds, it says only the korei zachar. So ba'u detaymer Rabbi Elazar afilu zachar da alma mechayev, he's mechayev everywhere. Vayitani korei zachar l'odicha kochal du rabbanan. Here's to teach you the power of the rabbanan, that even by the korei zachar, they still say that you don't have to do shalach tishalach. Kamash blon, that's not true. That kamash blon, that Rabbi Elazar agrees by other male birds that you do not have to send them away. Tani nami ochiv, a brighter that supports that view. Zachar da alma potur. Korei zachar, Rabbi Elazar mechayev, chumim putrim. So you see that the machlok is only about the korei zachar, not about male birds in general. Male birds in general, you do not have to send away. All right, next Mishnah. Hayta me'ofefet. She is hovering over the chicks or the eggs. She's not rovetzet. Rovetzet means she's really brooding, incubating, sitting on them. But rather here, she's me'ofefet. Bizman shekinafeh no goat bakan. If her wings touch the nest, chayav l'shaleach. Then you have to send it away. Ein kinafeh no goat bakan. If her wings do not touch the nest, then you do not have to say patur me'l'shaleach. You do not have to send away. Ein shameler froach echad o beitza achat. If there's only one efroch, one chick, or one beitzah, chayav l'shalech, you still have to send it away. Even though it says efrochim ubeitzim. Even though the pasuk says it in the plural, nevertheless, the singular is included because shenemar kan. The pasuk says kan, a nest, kan mikol makom. Whatever's in the nest qualifies. Hayusham efrochim africhim, if you have chicks that can fly on their own. O beitzim muzarot, or you have eggs that will not give birth to live offspring. Patur min l'shalach. Then you don't have to send it. Shenemar ve'im rovetzet ala efrochim o ala beitzim. Ma efrochim b'nei kayama. Just like chicks are obviously alive, af beitzim b'nei kayama. So too the eggs must be able to produce live offspring. Yatzum muzarot. That excludes these eggs that are called scrambled eggs. They're non-fertilized eggs. They're just not going to make it. Uma beitzim tzrichim leiman. Just like the eggs need their mother, they're not going to survive without being incubated by their mother. Af efrochim tzrichim leiman. So too, the chicks that require their mother, you have an obligation to send it away. Yatzum africhim. They can fly on their own. They don't need their mother anymore. And therefore, they will be excluded from the parsha of shalach tishalach. So tarabanan, rovetzev lo meofefet. She has to be brooding, incubating, and not meofefet, hovering. Yochol afil kunafeh no gut bakan. I would think even if her wings are touching the kan, tamalomar rovetzet. My Talmudo, what's the limud here? Mechlio chtiv yoshevet. Could have used the term yoshevet. The fact doesn't use yoshevet, it uses this rovetzet, comes to teach you that the rovetzet is more than the yoshevet. It's not just that you have to sit. Rovetzet means that you're in contact with. That's sufficient. You don't have to literally be sitting on it. You just have to be in contact with. So that would include me'ofefet, hovering when she's in contact with the nest. If it had said yoshevet, it would have to literally be that they're sitting on there. The fact that it didn't use that verb and used the word vovetzet comes to include other situations in which, yes, she's not sitting, but she's in contact with them. Some of you them are, Haita yoshevet ben shnei rov de ilan. What happens if the mother bird is sitting on two branches? Roim, kol she'im tishamet, nofelet aleim. If you would just pull these branches away, the mother bird would fall on top of her eggs. Chayav l'shalech, then you are. Bimlav, if you pull those branches away, she wouldn't fall directly on those eggs below or the chicks below, then you're patur. She's going to fall into the nest. Is she directly above the nest? I tell you, she'v b'nehem patur m'l'shalech. If she's sitting in between the eggs, she's not sitting on top of them, but in between them, or the chicks. Al gabeihem, if she's sitting on top of them, chayav l'shalech. Hayta me'ofefet. If she was hovering, afilu kanafeh no goat bakan, even if her wings are touching the nest, patur m'l'shalech. We'll have to get back to that. That's against our Mishnah. So my love, al gabeihem, dumiyo debeinehem. I would think that when we're on top of them, similar to in between them. Ma beinehem denagabu. Even if she's sitting in between the eggs, or between the chicks, and touching them, still, you don't have to send it away, because she's not al gabeihem. So too, af al gabeihem, denagabu. You have to physically be in contact. Avarov de Ilan Patur. There you'd be Patur, because she's not in direct physical contact with the chicks, the birds. Lo. Al Gabeihem, Dumiya de Benehem. Learn it the other way around. Al Gabeihem is similar to Benehem. Ma Benehem Dolo Noga Alayu. Just like Benehem, she's not touching them. She's sitting between the eggs, between the chicks, in a case where she's not touching them. Afal Gabeihem Dolo Noga Alayu. So too, above them, she doesn't have to be in direct contact with them. Ainu Rov de Ilan. That's exactly this case. When it says, Hakanami Mistavra, to learn it that way makes more sense. If you think sitting on the branches should be patur, why would the brayta continue and say, if she's hovering above, The kosher came melfefet. Say the case of Avdeilan, and certainly the case of melfefet. Melfefet is more far-fetched. Melfefet is she's hovering. At least when she's on the rov deilan, she is rovetzet. She's sitting there. She's above them. Okay, she's not in contact with them, but she's doing what the pasuk requires. Melfefet is hovering. So certainly the case, if you tell me already rov deilan, she don't have to do shalach to shalach, I certainly would know if she's hovering that she don't have to do it. So Gemara says, no, melfefet is trichalei. I needed the melfefet to teach me the chiddush. That afilu knafeh no goat v'kan patur. That even if her wings are touching, that she's patur or mila shaleach. Now the Gemara asks the question. Our Mishnah says b'zman shknafeh no goat v'kan chayav v'shaleach. Our Mishnah says you're chayav. The Braita is saying you're patur when she's hovering and touching the nest. What she's talking about the side. Well, the difference is in what? How is she in contact with them when she's above them? And she's in contact with them from above, then, or alehem, then that qualifies in terms of hovering. If she's in contact with them, she's hovering on the side, and she comes into contact with the chicks or the birds, that does not qualify as being in contact, and therefore, there you'd be patur m'lishaleach. So you have two requirements here. You have the requirement that she is in contact with them, but the contact is not just any contact, she has to be in contact with mi'al gabehen, above them. She has to come from above the contact, not from the side, the contact, in order to qualify to be the same as rovetzet. And that's what the word rovetzet teaches us, that yoshevet alehen, she's above them.
So this thing, she's over there,
she may not need it. Because there, mofefet takes her away from there, automatically. Rovetzet means that she's still and above them. So over here, when she's on the branches of the line, she has both. She's still and she's above them. So then she would qualify, just she's not in contact with them. There we say, we look at it as if the branches are gone. By milfefet, she's missing one of the qualifications, which is that she's rovetzet, that she's still. So in order to make up for that problem, she has to be in contact. It takes care of the problem of milfefet. So ikadamre, some say it the other way, right? Lema Messiah, they start on the positive side. Let's say this is a proof. It's the same bright. So my love, al gabayem, do me a debenehem. Now the same libud, but now we'll start the opposite way, which is, ma benehem delo naga alayu, when she's sitting between them, she's not in contact with them. So too, when she's above them, she doesn't have to be in contact with them. And there you say, you're chayav l'shaleach. Behind a rove deilan. What's that case? That case is where she's sitting above the branches. Lo, al gabayam, dumi d'beneyam. Now we're going to learn the opposite way. Ma benayam d'nagabu, when she's sitting in between them and she's in contact with them. Af al gabayam d'nagabu, she has to be in contact, otherwise she doesn't qualify. A rove deilan, patur. If that's the case, then why in the Sefer do you talk about hovering? That she's touching the conscious patur, litnei rov deilan. We can tell us the case of rov deilan, but kosher came melfefet, and certainly the case where she's hovering. Mar says, melfefet it's trichilei, we need melfefet separately. Da'afilu kanafeh no got bakan patur b'lishaleach. That even if she's in contact with them, she's still patur. V'anantzan, our Mishnah says, b'zman shkanafeh no got bakan chayav. Lishaleach, some Rav Yehuda, Kiktani Madnit, and our Mishnah is talking about Ogea Min Atzad. She's hovering, but she's only touching from the side. She's hovering above and touching, then you are Chayav. The Braita is talking about a case where it's from this side, and therefore she is not Chayav, or you're not Chayav in Shiluch HaKen in that case. The Mishnah said that Ein Shem Efroach Achad, there's only one bird or one egg in there, and you still have to do Shiluch HaKen, even though the Pasuk says Efrochim Ubeitzim. So I'm really having a Rabban on the Rav, Eima Ipcha. Why don't we have the Lima just the opposite? Ein sham ela frach achat, o beitz achat, there's only one chick, or one egg, patur milishaleach, debe'inan efrochim o beitzim. Because the pasuk says efrochim o beitzim, and that doesn't qualify. Veleka, hayusham efrochim mafrichim, you have birds that can fly, o beitzim muzarot, or eggs, that will not bring a live offspring, chayav l'shaleach, why? Shnemer kan, kan mikol makom, a nest no matter what. How do you know which one is the riboy and which one's the miyot? How did you know which way to go? So imke nichtob kra va'im rovetzet alehem. Pasuk should just written rovetzet alehem in plural, and we would have known this din. My va'im rovetzet alefruchim o alebeitzim. Why do you have efruchim and beitzim instead of alehem? La kushe efruchim le beitzim ubeitzim efruchim. That's to create the hekesh between efruchim and beitzim, and the hekesh is what teaches us the din. Just like the efruchim are live, so too the beitzim have to produce live offspring. Just like the beitzim need their mother, so too the efruchim need their mother, and therefore we know that the din or the exclusion here is to exclude the beitzim mizorot and to exclude the efrochim africhim. If that's the case, then what do you do with kan? Kan mikom makom, the nest no matter what. That comes to teach you that efrochim ubeitzim is not literally. They have to be multiple chicks or multiple eggs. Even one egg or one chick would suffice. why the Torah use Efrachim of Beitzim. It's talking about a normal case. Efrachim of Beitzim, Orchei Dekrahu, Leminkat Rabim, Berov Kanim. Most nests don't have a single egg in them or have a single chicken in them. So the Torah talked, Derech Eretz, the way things are normally are. But that's not coming to make a deal out of it that only Efrachim and Beitzim are true. It's even true by an Efrach Achat or a Beitzah Achat. All right, we'll stop over here.